What's good, y'all? Welcome to season 2 of Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your homegirl, Desiana Torres. This season, check it out. I want y'all to be invited into my own personal testimonies that's going to illuminate the beauty in the struggle. We're also going to have fire guests coming through to pour gems related to the topics of the hustle, the grind, the grief, and the survival that is often experienced while we chase our dreams. So stay tuned and tap in every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Sending nothing but love, peace, and joy to you and yours, always. So what is good, everybody? Welcome back to season 2 of Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Heads. I'm so excited to be back, and if you can't tell, then baby, I don't know what to tell you. This season, y'all, I'm really going to allow for y'all to get to know my personality a little more. I'm getting more comfortable being, you feel me, my real, authentic self behind the camera, or I guess in this case, behind the microphone. And I feel like it's hella important because sometimes a lot of people just see my work, but they don't see the soul behind it. You feel me? They don't know the personality behind it, the way I think, the way I come up with a lot of these ideas and where they, you know what I mean? A lot of them are shaped from my own personal experiences. And so I do got music playing in the background. I'm gonna turn it up a little bit. Let's listen to this real quick. While you listening, check in with yourself. How you feeling? How you doing? Was there something today that made you smile? Think about that for a little bit and really allow yourself to relax your shoulders, drop your jaw, take a couple deep breaths, and let's just listen to some good music for a second. To keep myself busy, I run around in circles, think I make myself dizzy. So this song here, y'all feel me? This song here, this song really talks about all the different coping skills that she was trying. And she's like, yo, it's not working. I cut my hair. I changed my hair. This new dress ain't really doing nothing for me. And it just goes to all these different ways that us as people really trying to find a sense of release or a sense of connection to our own selves. And yeah, I don't know. I just really love this song. So if you don't know it, it's called Cranes in the Sky. It is Beyonce's sister, Solange. I shouldn't even call her Beyonce's sister. She has her own identity, but you feel me? That is her sibling. And so I recommend that song for y'all. If y'all feel like y'all want to connect to some good music, I feel like this song does it for me too. I'm going to turn music down a little bit just so y'all can focus more on me, have background sound. Okay, cool. There we go. So yes, this episode, y'all, this season, I'm going to allow y'all to really get access to the real, raw, authentic, vulnerable, the things that I am the most proud of, but also the things I am still kind of embarrassed about and still kind of ashamed about. But I feel like all of my life experiences can relate to folks who are listening. And so with that, there are valuable lessons that come with experiences that I wouldn't be able to share with folks. And I hope that this episode and the future episodes that we got planned for this season really does that. And yeah, so this episode is really just a life update. I'm finna tell y'all where I've been, what I've been doing, how I've been surviving, how's motherhood, how's life, how's the move. It's just been nonstop of back-to-back-to-back-to-back changes. Some good, some bad. But in general, it was too much for me to keep up with, if that makes sense. So I'm gonna give y'all an insight of what that looked like. The first starting with pregnancy. What? Desiana pregnant and having a baby? If y'all are shooketh, so was I. Okay, I was on birth control and I was also told that I couldn't have kids. And so it was just like, it's giving miracle and I love it. I love that for me and my family. And so, not my phone falling. And so I'm super thankful at the fact that I am able to be a mother and join the motherhood, the toughest hood I've ever been a part of. And to share insight of what that was like for me. So starting with my pregnancy, I found out I was pregnant like immediately, just because if you know me, you know I take a pregnancy test every time I had to change my patch, because I was on the patch birth control. And so I had to change it every time, and I would always take a pregnancy test because I was just always paranoid of like, you know what I mean? Maybe one day it could happen. Maybe I was just like kind of manifesting it a little bit. And so I ended up catching it right away. And then I was shocked. Like, if y'all could understand, let me just set up the scene for you. Okay. Cause I don't even think I told this story to anyone, but I told my sister, I said, sis, I said,
I am late on my period because I took off my patch on Monday. I'm supposed to get my period by Wednesday, Thursday. And then on the next Monday, I put my new patch back on. And so it's Saturday night, and your girl ain't started yet. So what? If you know me, I'm off sometimes, but never on birth control. Like, that shit is so regulated to the T. So I still didn't think nothing of it. My man is like, yo, you should take a pregnancy test. And I immediately start laughing. Like, pregnancy test? Ain't no way, baby. Like, what you mean? I am on my birth control to the T. Like, there's no way. And so, anyways, I send my sister to the store. And I'm like, yo, sis, don't ask no questions. But I need two items from Walgreens. She's like, what's good? I said, I need a pregnancy test. And she looks at me. And I said, and I need a plan B. Like, we're going to get both at this point because we need to catch and figure out what we finna do. Because I don't want to say I wasn't ready for a kid, because you're never ready for it. But I was just in a sense of, like, I'm in such a high place in my life right now that I don't know if I'm ready. Like, you know, I just start questioning that same thought. And then, of course, you get paranoid of like, am I going to traumatize my child? Am I healed enough? Like, there was just so many questions that I was asking. I'm like, let me just get the plan B just in case. And, yeah, so she came through. And I called my man on FaceTime. You feel me? Because we were living separately at this time. And, yeah, when I say I was so confident that I was not pregnant, I mean that. I was so confident that I was not pregnant. But what ended up happening is I took the test, and as soon as I looked at it, I looked at my man, and then I looked at it, and I looked at my man, and still with no words, just doing the same action of like, wait a second, wait, what? What? Like, just literally, I want to say literally just shocked. And so I guess based on my response, he's like, what? Let me see. You feel me? And he has such a different reaction. He is jumping for joy. Like, he is just ecstatic, like, just super excited, which, given that, you know, we always talked about having a family and we prayed for that. So in a sense, it was just like, wow, is this really happening? And is it really happening right now? And while he's jumping for joy, I am just stuck. I didn't have no emotion. And I think I was just kind of processing everything. And then I immediately just got scared of like, oh, shoot, like, this is real. There's a baby in my tummy. Like, what? And after that, I would say the next week we had an appointment, and it was confirmed that, yes, in fact, Desiana Torres had a baby inside of her. And going through those emotions, I was low-key scared, given that I was told my uterus was damaged. So I'm like, you know what? Is this going to impact my pregnancy? Could this potentially lead to a miscarriage? And it is just all the worst thoughts that you really don't want to think while you're pregnant, because then it scares you, and it kind of robs you of your opportunity to be present with your baby, to just live in the peace and just embrace it for what it is. Like, my head was everywhere else. And so given that fact, and given the fact that my family all lived in the Bay Area, I'm like, I don't want to tell them over the phone. Like, this is something I want to tell them in person because of how special it is. And sure enough, 3 months later, which means I'm now 4 months pregnant, my mother and my siblings and everybody comes over to our place, and we put a film together for them to look at it. And through the film, you were able to see that we were announcing a pregnancy. My mom lost it. The video's on Instagram, and you could see her just crying and being like, wait, what? Like, just honestly, just as shook it as I was, she showed that same expression. And I love that she had a moment of being able to have peace herself, because she always was concerned about me not being able to have kids too. And so for her, it was just a special moment. And I really appreciate that we have that memory together for sure. That's one of those core memories that were created through it. And so although my mama found out in March, I didn't tell the rest of my family or social media, nothing. Like, I just still kept it to myself. And I ended up telling my family, I want to say like a month later. I sent everybody a flyer, and I'm like, hey, y'all, we coming in town. Let's just get together. You feel me? Have a barbecue. Come through. And sure enough, these folks did not even know that they were showing up to my gender reveal or the baby sex reveal. These folks were like, wait, who's pregnant? Wait, what? And they were so confused. Like, wait, how did this barbecue turn to a gender reveal? Like, I'm so confused. And it was just super exciting to see everybody's reactions. And at the time, my stomach was already showing. So it was just perfect. I'm like, oh, my little cute belly. And everybody's just, you know, giving you so much love. And it's really just a special moment to be able to share it with family. And so, yeah, that was pregnancy. It was kind of having a lot of highs, but towards that third trimester, y'all, oh, no. Like, the lack of sleep, the uncomfortability, lack of energy. Then I started to get depressed. Like, oh, it was just a lot that was going on. And I was just ready for my son to be here. And so one of the other things that I was waiting for while pregnant is for us to move the hell out of the neighborhood we were at. So I would say, I believe I was 2 months pregnant when we had moved into South Central. And if you know South Central, I am talking about Manchester. Wait, listen. And Broadway. If you know Manchester and Broadway, you know exactly where I'm talking about. I lived on 89th and Manchester and Broadway. When I said we were in the hood, we were in the hood, baby. Like, we were deep in the hood. So much so that it honestly wasn't safe for us to go outside. And so LA has really strict housing policies, I would say. And so the reason why we made it into this neighborhood is we had someone at the time living with us, someone special living with us, and they were still so young, so they didn't have any credit score. And the applications at this time is everyone 18 and over has to have a bomb-ass credit. And so because they didn't have any credit, we were getting denied to hella places, even though our credit was immaculate. They're like, no, everybody still has to have it. Like, it's all applicants have to have good credit. So unfortunately, because of the time that we were moving, because the landlord was selling the other house that we were at, they gave us a short notice. And I don't want to say they gave us a short notice. They gave us like two or three months to prepare. But like the time frame for us to actually move was just like, oh my God, this is a lot. And I'm pregnant. So having to live while pregnant in South Central in such a neighborhood, it was tough. It was really tough. I couldn't go outside. I couldn't take my little walks. I couldn't exercise as much as I wanted to. And if you know me, I'm a person who I do struggle a lot with depression. So I need to be outside. Like, outside is where I live. I exist out there. I like to connect with the sun, be in nature, just kind of people watch. Like, just really be out there. And I like to come home and just chill and relax and have a different feel to that. So, yeah. It was a lot. Our neighborhood specifically, if you had the app called Citizens app, I had to delete that thing off my phone after we almost moved out. But that shit was going off all the time of how much violence was happening around us. It was like, this person been stabbed, one person's house broken into, another person waving a gun in the air, another person waving a knife in the air. And that was just consistent every single day on our block. Helicopters flying across our apartment the entire time, like all the time. Police cars hiding out in our back alleys and walking through our apartments to spy on gang members in our neighborhood. Like, y'all, it was a lot. So imagine this. You're pregnant. You're super excited. It's a miracle pregnancy. You want to embrace it. You want to live it. But you are forced to live and function in survival mode just because your neighborhood is not a safe place for you to want to take that risk. Like, it's not that I couldn't go outside. Obviously, I could go outside and sit on the porch, but how fast can you get up and move if shit start popping off? So this was the reality that I was facing during my pregnancy, and it was just really tough on my mental health because it took me back to living in East Oakland, where I'm from. I haven't lived in the hood, y'all, since I was 18 years old. And I mean that in the most beautiful, most gentle way, because I left for college at 18 and I never could afford to come back home. Like, real talk, rent in the Bay is so expensive. I'm not paying $3,000, $4,000 to live in a neighborhood that is unsafe. Like, I just can't do it. It's too much to really risk. There's a lot of consequences that come sometimes with living in our neighborhoods. And I hate that for us because I love the city of Oakland. It is such a beautiful place. However, in the same scale, it is also really hard to know that if you can make it out and survive it. So these same feelings that I had as a teenager are the same feelings that are, and the same triggers that are coming up for me in South Central. Given the simple fact that also I was proud at the fact that my survival skills were still intact. Like, I still had the skills of which I had developed living in East Oakland to really keep myself afloat, watch my back, know certain cues, listen to certain whistles in the neighborhood. Like, it was just everything that I was able to kind of utilize and connect to make sure that we were safe. And there were some instances where, obviously, I have a dog, so which means I have to walk him outside if my partner can or if my sister's at work. And y'all, they had loose dogs in the neighborhood. So every time I tried to walk my pit bull, it was nothing but hella random loose dogs coming to attack us. And unfortunately, my dog is not friendly with other dogs. So it was just never a good situation for me to be in while pregnant. So that was just extra stress that I was going through. Every time I had to go outside, I'm like, dang, here we go. Okay. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. On our walks, we even had to take a bat. Yeah, a bat for protection because we didn't know what was going to pop off. So that was just some of the situations. Another situation is while I was 8-9 months pregnant, we went grocery shopping and we were on our way to park into our parking lot. And there was a candlelight for someone who had passed away. I'm not too sure if they died due to gun violence, but I knew that they were celebrating the life of this person that had passed away. Now, that person could have been in a gang given that it was a gang neighborhood and the folks who were all posted outside at this one particular night were all potentially in a gang. You feel me? And so I'm going to set up the scene for y'all. I'm driving down the block and the street is full of at least like 20, 30 folks. Like it's packed. And if you know the hood streets, our streets are so small and narrow that two cars don't always fit. One got to kind of merge off the side to let the other car come through. And so while we are coming through, tell me why. Mind you, I'm in the driver's seat. My man is in the passenger seat. And while we're driving through, a car comes in front, blocks us in, and hella folks start approaching our car with ski masks and everything. Mind you, I'm in the driver's seat. I'm sitting here like, what the fuck? And I'm looking at my man like, we screwed. Whether you try to protect us or not, like, it's hella them and it's only us. So, mind you, our windows were low-key already halfway down. It was a nice, beautiful Sunday night with a nice breeze. And fortunately, someone recognized that we lived on the block. Mind you, we're new to the neighborhood in this time, right? So, people on the block, they know what cars come in and out of. Like, they are really attentive to certain things like that. And so, given that we were new neighbors who probably have been living here for, like, maybe 2-3 months, we were still kind of new to the entire population who happened to be outside. So, the folks are walking up to our car, and somebody yells, hey, no, they good. They living on this block. It's cool. Y'all, when the folks backed up from the car and the car that was blocking us from the front moved so we can continue going through the street, that's when I took my first breath again. I'm not even kidding. In that sense, I kind of low-key accepted death. I'm like, we finna die. Like, there's nothing we can do. They're coming up with ski masks. Either they finna take our car. Like, something bad is gonna happen, and I hate to say that that was the reality of which we face. And to be honest, because the guy said, nah, it's cool, let them go, that kind of adds up to the fact that something really was finna pop off. So I'm so thankful that it didn't. But again, I'm sharing this experience to let y'all know the environment of which I was going through while I was pregnant. And so the episodes that I have on season one in my podcast, when you see me on my Instagram lives, I am in that apartment. So y'all wondering, damn girl, how did you create a podcast? And where did this come from? And you're so dope. And you're so this. And I'm like, bro, I had to escape my reality somehow. And the podcast gave me that opportunity to share and speak upon these experiences, not necessarily what I'm sharing now, but previous experiences that can relate to how our communities can continue to exist like this. And it made me wonder, a lot of the folks, this is gonna sound wild, our neighbors, cool ass people, we didn't get to know them towards the end, like literally like the last month or two. And then we got really sad because we got really cool with him. But when I tell y'all, we was in the house, we was not playing. As soon as we got home, in the house, locked the door. And we were never really outside like that. So our neighbors will always have parties and play loud-ass music, all this stuff. Tell me why there was a drive-by outside our house, right next door to us. And They literally just kind of paused the music, stopped, assessed the situation. Once the cars drove off, they put the music back up and continued partying. And I'm sitting here like, you know what? Given the fact that I have this experience about mental health and also being able to have the privilege of living in wealthier neighborhoods, this is not normal. And the fact that we have normalized this really concerns me and really hurts my heart because, you feel me, our people deserve so much more than always being surrounded by different ecosystems of violence. And so, yeah, that's kind of just the environment of which we were having to navigate while I was pregnant and also while postpartum. And so there was also another experience where I was pregnant. No, actually, I wasn't pregnant. I already had given birth to my son. So I want to say he's probably about 2 months old. There was another drive-by. Mind you, our living room is right in the front of the apartment. So if you're chilling there, you're by the front windows where the drive-bys are occurring. So it's another drive-by, and I instantly grabbed my son, and I dropped to the floor, and I had to crawl to the hallway where my dog already ran. He knows the routine. He knows, oh, shoot, it's time to go lay down in the hallway. So mind you, I'm crawling with my child in my hand. I have a C-section. And it is the most painful crawl that I have had to make to get to safety for my family. And at that point, I called my man, and I'm like, we can't do this no more. We cannot do this no more. I understand that you want us to stay in LA because this is where your family lives. This is where you always wanted to raise your kids, but absolutely not under these conditions. Like, I'm not doing it. And so the conversation started to get more serious because we knew we weren't always going to live in that neighborhood. Mind you, it was temporary given that we were also kind of creating a community to helping folks around us too. And so it just wasn't working out. I couldn't do it. And the reason why I couldn't do it is because it was really impacting my mental health to a point where I was constantly feeling triggered. But I was still showing up for myself. Like, you feel me? I still was good with my self-care. Even though I was depressed, it was a hella bad postpartum depression yet. And yeah, it was really hard to kind of navigate myself through that. So when I went to work, there was, you know, I'm not even finna tell y'all all the trauma. Actually, I don't even know if it's important. Let me take a breath. I think my body's feeling triggered and it's okay for me to take a moment. So I want to come on here to say that me expressing all the different forms of trauma that I experience is valuable for me to be able to exchange with y'all the circumstances in which a lot of us are oftentimes forced in our heads and the impacts that it can have on our mental health. So given my environment, given the experiences that I'm going through, I can't go outside. I can't experience the sun. I'm feeling more depressed. It was just a lot adding up to where I'm at. There was an assault that also happened at my job where I was physically assaulted for like 15 seconds while everybody just watched. It was the craziest thing ever, but somebody was under a drug-induced hallucination. And we're having a mental health crisis, and me, obviously, in the mental health field, trying to create a safe environment and try to create safety for everybody else, your girl didn't have no safety either. And so even though I was surrounded by hella people, walkie-talkie, security, all that, like, no one came through, and it was just a really painful experience for me to have to navigate, given that I had just gotten to work from maternity leave. Like, I wasn't even finished being... how do I say this? I wasn't even finished recovering fully with my C-section before when I was back at work and having to, you feel me, start making money again. And what? I had to go through that experience, and that completely knocked me off my whatever little horse I was sitting on. Because now my mental health is messed up pretty bad. I had developed and got diagnosed with PTSD again. I got diagnosed with acute anxiety. And there was something about depression, postpartum depression. So now I'm having hella different symptoms showing up in my life. It's impacting the way I'm showing up for my man. I'm easily angered, easily agitated, easily startled, easily ready to fight. Like, I was traumatized and having to navigate postpartum when you just had a baby like this, the worst thing ever. And I wish I could come on here and say that, you know, I had a different experience, but I feel like a lot of folks can understand and relate to this if you're a mother having to navigate living around different ecosystems of violence. And so, y'all, my mental health took a hit. I'm not even kidding. For a good whole year of my son's first life, I want to say I mentally was not there. Not there. And every day was a fight to live. Every day was a fight to be present. Every day was a fight to show up for myself. And with the body changes too, it was just so much going on. I started to feel insecure. I didn't want to be on camera no more. I didn't even want to come back to community work. Like, I was just such a deep and dark place. And I let myself stay there. So that's why I took a year off. I had to process everything that I was going through. And given that it wasn't easy experiences and it wasn't a lot of time distance in between them, it was honestly back to back to back to back to back and stuff happening, that your girl just kind of felt like the waves was drowning her. I'm like, yo, hold on, let me just come up for air. I swear I'll be good if I just get air. Psh, another wave comes. And it was just constantly stuff like that. So now, given that postpartum, I'm suffering with the depression after the attack, it completely eliminated my breast milk. Mind you, I've been providing breast milk for my son for about a good 6-7 months. And I was proud of myself. It wasn't a lot. I wasn't making an oversupply, but it was just perfect enough amount to feed my son. And it was hard work. If you breastfed, oh my goodness, the pumping, the having to eat hella food, drink hella water, like, it's just so much. So mind you, if you have depression, it's really hard to take care of yourself. It's really hard to drink water. It's really hard to eat food. So me having to force myself to do these things so that I could be a good mother, in a sense, was just a lot of pressure on me. So after that physical assault, my breast milk, my stress was just way too high. My depression was way too high, PTSD way too high, that my breast milk just eliminated. So now I feel like a failure as a mother, right? So I'm like, damn, girl, like, just this whole experience is traumatizing. I can't do nothing right. That's what it felt like. Like, look at the life that I'm providing for my son. I worked so hard to get to everything I've accomplished, and here I am in square one again. And that was my mindset for the majority of the time, and I think that's what kept me in that loop of depression, because I kept just thinking the same thing over and over again. When in reality, I could have easily, I don't want to say easily because it wasn't easy, I could have instead given myself permission to try to understand what God was walking me through so that I can be more appreciative of the experiences and life lessons that came from those situations. So yeah, your girl has been going through it, okay? And all this stuff really made us make the decision to want to come live in Sacramento. And yeah, I needed to be with my family, y'all. I really needed my backbone. I really needed my village to show up for me. Your girl was traumatized, couldn't breathe, living in survival mode, had no boundaries. And it was hard for other people to understand how someone like me, who has all this, you know what I mean, professional connection to mental health and everything else, how can someone like me struggle? And I think people forget that I'm human too. You feel me? Like, it's okay that even if you provide mental health services, it's okay if you fall short too sometimes, because we give and give and give and give and pour and pour and pour. And to so many folks that sometimes it is hard for us to pour back into ourselves, right? And so, yeah, I want to be able to be realistic with what my life has been looking like. I wish that it is speaking to somebody right now who also doesn't have that perfect postpartum pregnancy life story where you are proud of. Maybe your life story or your pregnancy story is triggering just like mine. Maybe you decided that you don't want to have kids no more, just like me. Like, I'm so traumatized, y'all. I really don't want to have no more kids. And that's so real for me to say. I mean, obviously, I would love to have more kids, but given my experiences, I haven't fully recovered from it yet, and I don't know if I could recover it from it if I did it again. And so that's where my decision is now. But given the fact that I have a son, and he is the most beautiful, most precious, most happiest baby that I could ever dream of for my family, I'm truly thankful, and I live in gratitude every day that he wakes up. Every day that he looks at me and says, Mommy, every day that he asks for food, like, truly his existence has made the biggest imprint on my life, because although my son can't ever heal me, it's not his responsibility, he gives me the motivation to want to heal myself more. Have you ever wanted to, like, you feel me, get right for your kids? Allow yourself to open up, to remove all the bad parts and all the shame, all the guilt, everything that we're not proud of. Just kind of remove it off of ourselves so that we can show up so intentionally for our babies. Well, that's kind of where I'm at. And that's where I've been for a minute, of being able to be so intentional with, okay, girl, you can't be on social media like that right now. You can't be pouring into hella people like that. You got to get yourself right. And it's okay to make these sacrifices, because there is a bigger outcome that's coming from your experiences that are going to touch people who have been through the same or similar situations. And that's where I find my power. I'm not ashamed to tell y'all that I'm not okay all the time. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that even I, who has so much access to mental health resources and all this stuff, still struggle with myself. Because if I could keep it 100 with y'all, even while I was a therapist, I couldn't afford therapy. Okay, the money is not always what they portray it to be when it comes to being a mental health clinician. And maybe I'm just not all the way up there yet, but you feel me, at that time that I was going through it, I didn't have it like that. And that's my truth. And so what happens to people like us who go through certain traumatic events and can't access therapy or can't access support? We fall short. We do, or we find unhealthy coping skills, and that's where we get stuck, and we allow ourselves to focus on the same patterns and cycles that we have always seen existed around us. And I give us so much grace for that, okay? I don't judge folks for how you cope, because sometimes you cope is the only way that you probably had access to cope in that moment. And it's okay. It's so much grace around that. And so I don't want this episode to close off, obviously, with it being traumatizing or it being too much or just heavy, but truly, I wanted to invite you in to let you know what life has been like for me for the last year. Now that I am in Sacramento, y'all, oh, I love our neighborhood. Mind you, I lived in Sacramento before because I went to UC Davis, but living in Sac is just surrounded by so much land, so many plants, so many trees, so many just nature, good fresh air. The rent here is affordable for houses, and it's just, everything is just beautiful, okay? Everything is beautiful. And given that one day my dream is to live back on the island where my family is from, I want to be able to soak all this up, right? We live in a middle-class neighborhood right now that is full of Black and brown people who are rich in culture, okay? It's just without the violence and without the crime that is often due to the systemic oppression we face, okay? So I don't want to blame my neighborhoods and the struggles we go through on us, because it's a lot that we go through in those neighborhoods that aren't often given resources or solutions for. So yeah, my neighborhood now, y'all, I can go outside in my front yard and just lay in our grass and soak up the sun if I wanted to, because I know that my neighbor to my right is gonna come out and say, hey, how you doing? My neighbor to my left is gonna be like, hey, you feeling good, feeling great? Like, we communicate, we talk, we build community, and that is what creates a village. Truly, it's all of us who come together to create those safe spaces for one another, and I love that about where we are located at now. I am close to the family, so I go visit my family every other weekend, if that, or they vice versa come visit us. So given that the environment has changed, and given that my access to my support system has been beneficial in my own mental health. So y'all girls doing a lot better now than I was in December, because I was still functioning in survival mode. But starting January to where I am now, I really put in so much intentional time to get myself back right, build a very strict routine, get myself back in the gym. And although I'm not consistent every day, I'm gonna be honest with y'all, it is a journey. But I am doing something every day for myself, whether it's one thing, and I'm so proud of myself for being able to do that. Now, to close off the episode, y'all, I just want to let y'all know that this season is going to be focused on me talking about my upbringing. I have different chapters of what I'm going to call it. One being, you feel me, my upbringing, my parents' relationship, being the role of the oldest. I'm going to be talking about avoiding peer pressure at high schools and things that were happening there that I had to kind of navigate myself from. Dating, how was dating like for me as a teenager? What are some of the mistakes I made that mimicked a lot of what I witnessed in my own family? And then also depression, talking about mental health, and what is Desiana's mental health like, and what are Desiana's struggles with mental health, and how did that show up in her life? Like, when I say I'm giving y'all access to any and everything that can come out of me, I mean that to the core. So stay tuned with season 2 as I come through to pour so much of this wisdom for you. And to close off, y'all, let me see if I can find it. My sister wrote something down for me, y'all. I love her to death. She really was like, sister, you got to have something, you feel me, that you close off with that gives people the ability to be able to always say what you say. You feel me? It could be y'all, your own personal little saying. And I'm like, you know what? That's such a good idea. What do you think it should be? And I am looking for it in my journal right now. Hold on, y'all. Where is it? She's going to be so hurt if I don't practice this today. Because I told her, I said, sis, I got you. Okay. It's not this page. Is it even in this journal, y'all? I know y'all hear me flipping through pages. I don't know. It's really gone. Sis, it's gone. I'm going to have to save the next podcast episode, and it is all right. So, I guess I'm going to close off this episode now to allow y'all to know that I appreciate y'all tuning in always and really listening to my life stories and giving me the space to kind of be a vessel of truth, a vessel of honesty, and a vessel of hopefully hope itself. Sending so much love, peace, and joy to all of y'all always. Have a beautiful night, and I'll tap in with y'all next Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.